Hi again, my name is Steve Elzinga. This is the coaching class, and I want to talk about time management. This is one of those subjects that is sort of outside of the coaching. It might be a skill that you have to take time to teach. So it's if you have a client who's struggling with actually getting anything done, or the excuses are, and I just didn't have time this week, or these other things came up, and I had to do these things that were urgent. And if constantly the client is not getting to his action steps, not doing them, he might be struggling with the whole time management issue. And so to do a little time out, you might suggest to your client, look, it seems like you're having trouble getting things done and sticking with the plan and so on, and it might be a time management issue. Would you like me to take off my coaching hat and put on a teaching hat and just teach you some of the basics of time management? I mean, that might help. And if your client is open to that, then you would sort of take a time out and teach them just some of the fundamentals. I mean, there are whole courses you can take on time management, and I've taken some of those. But what I got out of those time management courses, there are a lot of different things, how to set priorities and how to write a life vision and all these big, broad things that does affect time management. But a few practical little things that I learned that made a huge difference in my ability to sort of manage my own time. So it wouldn't take a long time. It wouldn't take very long to teach your client some of these things. So, all right, remember, coaching is about getting your client to some form of action. That's what coaching is all about. Action is accomplished over time. So time is involved. And time is in God's hands. I took a time management class that was just a secular course, and they didn't really deal with what time is. And the impression that I got from taking this class was that time management is in your hands, that time is a thing that you own. And from the biblical perspective, time is not something you own. It's something that God has allowed you to be a steward of. The body that you have, the time that you have to use it, these are all gifts that God has given you for a period of time. We're stewards of this. Time is in God's hands. Psalm 31, verse 15. My times, the psalmist is saying, my times is in your hands. Okay, so how do you get a client to practically think this way? I mean, theologically, okay, yeah, my times are in God's hands, but how do I practically make that a reality? Henry Reinge and I, years ago, when before we worked for the Bible League, we started our own company, and we came up with a planner, a Christian planner, that could be used by business people. We came up with a Christian planner for Christian schools, and our whole goal, how it happened was, I had taken a secular time management class, and I was starting to use that whole system to manage my time. And then at the same time, Henry and I started a nonprofit trying to get people to own their own walk with God. So talking, listening repeatedly, prayer and Bible every single day. And we had prayer sheets and things to read from the Bible every day. And I was doing my time management. And I remember writing... in my time management planner, there was a to-do list, and I was writing all the things that I wanted to do that day. And then I had my prayer sheet from the prayer and Bible thing that Henry and I were trying to do. So I was doing these two systems. And so I would write all the things that I was going to do that day in my secular to-do list planner. And then I would go to my prayer sheet, and on that prayer sheet was adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, your needs. And I started writing my prayer needs. And after a couple of weeks, I realized I'm writing the same things twice. I have all these things I put on my secular to-do list, and then I have the same things I write down on my prayer sheet. I'm like, well, why am I writing this twice? So I finally figured out the connection between the secular planner and my devotional life. And it was this phrase. When I was doing my secular planner, what I was doing is I had all these lines on my planner, and I could put in the things that I want to do. I could put in a schedule. At 10 o'clock I'll do this, at noon I'll do this, and I could fit my stuff. These lines are all mine. This is my time, and I decide what I want to do with each line of my time. And on one of the lines, I would put, do devotions. So I was taking the infinite God and reducing him to one line in my planner. One line in my plan for the day. My to-do list. I reduced God to one line. That just seemed wrong. God is bigger than one line of my planner. He's there on every single line before I write anything. So then Henry and I, we came up with this phrase, don't fit God into your schedule. As if God is a small thing. God is just one item on your to-do list. Don't fit God into your schedule. Fit your schedule into God. Your whole schedule. Everything that you want to do, you stick that into God's planner. And so then we made up this devotional planner where the to-do list was also your prayer list. So that's one way to do it. One way to start getting your client to think about time management. And remember, the whole goal of Christian coaching is to get a client to figure out God's will for their life. It's not your will for your life. It's God's will for your life. And one way to do that is to get him to start doing a planning system where somehow it's part of your prayer list, not your to-do list. Whether someone has a sheet of paper that they just put their to-do list on, whether they do that in an electronic planner where you have things that you want to do today and tomorrow, etc., or a big monthly calendar. I would just write on the monthly calendar that it's God's month. And instead of writing a to-do list, put over the top saying, my prayer list. And then that means everything you write on this calendar is in your prayer list. A gentle reminder that everything fits into who God is, and you don't take God and fit him into your schedule. You are not God. God is God. All right. Make your to-do list. So that's my point. Make your to-do list your prayer list. That's one simple little thing that you can do with your... By the way, what that will do is not only remind your client that everything is related to God, but your client will be more aware that God is involved in all these things. I'm not just trying to make these things happen on my own. God is in there too. God is helping me. So the goals that you come up with in your coaching session as your client leaves your office and goes out in the world and tries to make these things happen, he's not making these things happen on his own. He's more likely to succeed with God, with an awareness of God being in the middle of it than without. Okay, second little thing to teach your client is to prioritize the to-do list. So first of all, every day a person should sit down and go, what am I going to do today? What's my to-do list today? What do I think I can reasonably get done? What would I like to get done? What should I get done? There's a lot of things that go into a to-do list. Things you want to do, things that you should do, things that you haven't done, things that other people want you to do, expectation, it all goes in there. So you write all these things down there, and the problem is most of us never get to everything on our to-do list. And so where do you begin? And people fall in the habits of avoiding certain things, always doing the easy thing, or they do the one hard thing and it takes all day long and they never get anything else done. So people have a default setting or a way of dealing with a huge list. And usually it's a dysfunctional way. So you have to teach your client how to prioritize. What's the first, if you only did one thing today, what would it be? What's the priority? What are the things that you absolutely need to do or want to do on this day? And it could be need and it could be want. So prioritize each to-do with A, B, C. So A is, this is something I got to do today. I want to do it today. It's going to be done today. That's an A. B is, well, I hope I can get to it today, but maybe I will, maybe I won't. C is, who knows, it's something I should do, but I might not get it today. So you look at things and you just quickly, A, B, B, C, C. There are certain things you should get done and you look at it, yeah, I should get that done. You just quickly, you don't have to take a lot of time to do this, just A, B, B, C, C. Okay? So now you've generally prioritized, but now you have four A's and maybe you have five B's and you have three C's. So where do you start with these things? So number two, you further refine your prioritization with 1, 2, 3. So A1 is the first thing you're going to get done today. A2 is the second. A3 is the third. A4 is the fourth. B1 is next. So now the whole thing, your whole to-do list is prioritized, and this is what you're going to do. And by the way, just doing this relieves a lot of stress. Because what happens is you have this to-do list and there's 20 things on it and you don't know what to do and you spend a while just trying to figure out what to do, and then you go do it and then you go back to your big list and it's like, what should I do next? And again, you waste a lot of time and then you add something else and you get distracted. When you have it prioritized, everything has an A, a B, or C, a 1, 2, or 3. You get done with one thing, you go to your list, and you just go to the next thing. There's no wasting. There's no second guessing. There's no thinking about it. There's no going, oh, I really don't want to make that phone call. Well, it's next on the list. That's what I'm going to do. And you pick up the phone and you do it. A lot of times we were procrastinating. We have all these things we want to do, but some things we don't like to do. And so we look at that thing we don't like to do, and then we hem and haw, and then we go to something else, and we're going to get back to it. And it's just, it's stress all day long. Whereas when it just comes to you, you go to the next thing, make the call. Okay, I didn't realize that was the next thing. I wasn't worried about it, but okay, here we go. I don't want to do it. It's stressful for me to do it, but I'm going to just do it because it's the next on the list. It takes the decision-making out of it. You make a decision once, and then the rest of your day is just following through with what you already decided. It makes things a lot easier. All right, next, lessen the weight of your to-do list. Okay, your to-do list is a weight that you put upon your shoulders. You have these 20 things that you have to do today. And some of them are urgent. Some of them you were supposed to get it done a week ago. Some of them were expectations of your spouse, your family, your employer, whatever it might be. And every one of these things is like a brick on your back. And until you get these things finished, accomplished, there's this weight weighing you down. Well, how do you lessen the load? It's a lot of bricks to be carrying. You got 20 things to do today. There's no way you're going to get them all done today. And yet you're carrying around these 20 bricks. So you get 5 of the things done. You carry 15 bricks over to the next day. And then you add 10 more bricks for tomorrow. Now you have 25 bricks on your back. And you get 10 things done. You carry 15 bricks over. And you keep carrying the same bricks from day to day to day to day. Sometimes months at a time. We have these to-do list things that we never get to. And yet there they are on our list. And they're just weighing us down. How do you lessen the weight of your to-do list? Number one. Move to-dos to a more reasonable date. Okay, if I look at my list, I've got 15 things on here, but I realize I'm not going to get to half of these. Okay, I should go through and move some of them off of today. I look at this one and go, am I going to do this today? No, I'm not. So when could I do it? Well, I probably won't get this till next Monday. All right. Then you flip ahead in your calendar to next Monday and you take that thing that's on your today and you move it there. You just write it on next Monday. You go to this Monday and you cross it off. And now for 7 days you don't think about it. You don't carry the brick day after day after day after day after day after day after day. It's taken care of. You're going to do that next Monday. And you don't even have to remember that it's next Monday, because you'll just be living your life and all of a sudden you'll get to that day and you go, oh, here's that thing that I moved there. You don't have to think about it till the next Monday. When I learned this, it was revolutionary. It changed my whole way of thinking about time and my to-do list. I didn't have to keep carrying the bricks from day to day to day. I look at it, I make a decision of when I think I'm really going to do this, and I move it over there, and I forget about it. It's awesome. Move to-dos to a more reasonable date. You take everything that way. And all of a sudden, now you're looking at a to-do list for today that you actually can accomplish. And at the end of the day, when you've accomplished all of them, yeah, you feel pretty good about yourself and you're ready for the next day. Number two. Check off to-dos accomplished. It's the most fun part of having a to-do list. My wife actually will do something, and if she forgot to write it on her to-do list, she will write it on her to-do list and immediately scratch it off. Because it just feels so good to check that thing off. I accomplished something. Again, if we're talking about motivation, a little bit of success along the way is motivation to keep working towards a goal. All right, dealing with interruptions to your day. Okay, that your client has a lot of excuses, there are goals, things he's supposed to do last week, and then he never gets to them because there's all these things that happen, especially if they're in a ministry or they own their own business or they have a big family. There's interruptions to our lives all the time. You have a plan, but your plan has always changed because of these things that happen, things that are urgent, things that you can't put away. So how do you deal with those things? Number one. Decide if you really need to deal with it. Okay, is this really an interruption? Is this really urgent? Do I really have to take care of this thing right now? If I do, okay, I just got to do it. I got to live with this interruption. But really, do I need to? I mean, a lot of times there are interruptions, there are expectations of others, but we don't have to do them this day. So decide if it must be dealt with immediately, or number three, move it to a more appropriate date. So someone comes and they say, I want this from you. Well, you know, today is not a good day for me. Do you think we could wait until next Tuesday? And the person says, yeah, I guess so. So I go into my calendar next Tuesday and I put that thing there. And now I forget about it. Again, it's like the thing we talked about before, where you take, you know, something that you know you're not going to get today and you move it to an appropriate time, place. Or let's say someone calls me on the phone and they say, you know, we'd like you to speak at a retreat next September, and you know, this is the topic, this is how many sessions that you want you to do. And what I do is, in my planner, in my day planner, on the very day I'm getting that call, I write all that information there. Let's say it's April 3, and he's talking about a retreat in September 7th. On April 3, I'm writing, you know, retreat, where it is, how many sessions, all the information this person is giving me. Okay? There it is on today. And then I go forward to September 7, and I write down retreat, see April 3. And then I want to think about it, let's say I want to think about it sometime in August, because I want to start planning. I don't want to deal with this until August. I'm going to start planning in August. So on August 14, I go there and I write, start planning for the retreat on September 7, see April 3. So now I don't think about it all summer. I don't have these bricks weighing me down. But all of a sudden, without me remembering anything, I get to, you know, August, and I open it up, and it says, start planning for a retreat in September 7. Oh yeah, that's September 7 thing. Okay, where's that information? Well, it's on April 3. That's where I wrote it down. So I go back to April 3. Oh, this is what it was. How many sessions, how long the sessions, all the information I need. And now I start planning. It makes things so much easier. You don't forget things. There's two things that kill people on time. One is forgetting stuff. They have all these things and all these expectations and all these promises that were made and dates and times and you end up forgetting them. You end up dropping the ball. And even if you don't drop the ball, you have all these dates and obligations and expectations rolling around in your head for months. Even though you're not doing anything about it. Even though you don't have to do anything about it until, you know, maybe a week before. But now you're worried about it for months on end. And most people live their lives that way. Worried. In fact, sometimes we're worried about things we're not even sure what we're worried about. We're worried about dropping the ball somewhere. We're worried about forgetting something that we should be remembering. And how do you worry about stuff like that? So if you just do these little tiny techniques, it can change the way you operate. All right. There's many more things you could say about time management, but I think these are the basic things that you could give to your client, and if you could just take your hat off, teach them a few things, and you could put the coaching hat down, and now you can continue on with coaching. We'll see you again next time.